Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
The universe is restored. All is back to normal. I'm back on the show, Josiah.
Good to have you. Things do feel good again.
Did they not feel good last Friday when I wasn't here?
It was very manly in the studio with Boss Benny and I.
Yeah.
The How females,
many farts did you do?
I know, and the females were crying out for your voice again.
Good to hear. Good to hear that I'd bring some kind of use to this show.
Well, we had a ripper this morning. Meet me in the riddle. Toby from Human Nature. We find out the results on our goat, plus so much more.
Yeah. What more?
Heath. We talked about midlife crisis. We talked about your boyfriend Gav's surprise party. Didn't go to plan, did it?
No, not really. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it was like, I don't want to do it again.
No.
No way.
Too much organisation, man.
Too much.
You know that organisation you put into the surprise party?
I should put it into the show more often.
Probably do it, yeah, into the show. That'd be a good start.
Tomorrow's show is going to be the best one you've ever heard. Don't know what's going to be on it yet, but I will put some organisation in and
it'll be amazing.
It will be. All right, enjoy. We'll speak to you again tomorrow for the best show ever.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
The big moment is here, guys, where I reveal to you how Vincent van Gogh went in the goat show at the Shepparton Show on Saturday morning. It was a huge day. 10:30 a.m. was the big event. I was very nervous. How are you feeling, Ellie?
Yeah, look, I'm excited. I couldn't make the Shep show over the weekend. I did have to fly over to Perth to see my boyfriend for his 30th. So I was very torn in making that decision. I felt bad about leaving Vincent, and I'm about to find out whether I made the right decision or not.
I looked like an absolute idiot dressed as Little Joe Peep at the show. The amount of people that were giving me filthy looks like, who is this guy?
Hey, Josiah, I saw photos that are up on our Instagram at the moment, HitGV, and our Facebook, Hit Golden Valley, and you looked beautiful. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise.
I look like an idiot. Anyway, I went around the Shep show, lots of people yelling, Josiah, I knew it was you because you're wearing a dress. Yeah, good way to be noticed, guys. But then the big moment happened, Ellie, and I'll let me do the talking. I'll let me tell how we went. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining, but the day kicked off with plenty of nerves.
It's game day, guys, here with Vincent van Gogh. She's a bit distracted at the moment. She's eating food, but we'll get there.
The crowd loved meeting Vincent van Gogh, but some asked some curly questions.
What fridge does it do?
You'll have to wait and see. The show's in just a minute.
The big event got underway, but unfortunately, not everything went to plan.
So they're currently let loose for the judge to judge who's the best one on the loose. And Vincent van Gogh's causing a bit of trouble, so...
She's headbutting everyone,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, it's not looking good at this stage, but I can always slip in the 20 and see what happens.
And that's exactly what I did. How did we go? I'll reveal shortly.
Do not make me wait. Are you kidding me? You've been saying I'll reveal shortly all morning. Don't do this to me anymore.
Fire off the music, Ellie.
Oh my God, are you serious?
As I lined up with the other goat trainers,
yep.
I didn't realise how much was involved. Julie from the Shep show, she actually stitched me up, didn't tell me how serious this was taken as all these serious goat handlers were standing there with little Bo Peep in the middle of them all. They weren't happy with me. And I thought if I take it out and win, they're going to hate me even more.
So what, did you like forfeit?
Ellie, no, I stayed in it to the end because dignity aside, I'm a competitive person at nature and we need to win.
Hey, and do not think because they maybe do it, you know, every day of their lives and this is a big moment. Don't think that that makes our efforts any less, my friend. We put in a lot of hours with Vincent to get ready for this show.
I'm telling you right now, Vincent was the best looking goat there was.
Yes, nice and sparkly after the bath you gave her.
Little Joe Peep worked in our favour as well.
Of course.
He read out the results. Third, who cares? Second, who cares? The big moment. My name hadn't been called out yet.
Yeah.
And I thought, first place, please, could it be us? Unfortunately, it wasn't.
We didn't even make the top three.
No. And then he read out fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh. And unfortunately, Vincent van Gogh came last.
We got an I ran in a race ribbon.
I'm handing over our participation medal, Ellie. Unfortunately, in the middle of the show, as you heard in that montage, Vincent van Gogh decided to ram the other goats with its horns. I'm not trained enough to stop a goat from ramming its horns. And for that, we came last.
We lost. Vincent lost.
I lost. Vincent lost. I'm so sorry.
You know what? I'm going back to Perth. I, I travelled 8 hours to get here today to find that out.
I'm so sorry.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I was as upset as you were.
Nah, protest. It was rigged. I want a recount. Who's the judge? Let's get the judge. No.
Should we put out a hit on the judge?
Yes, 100%. If anyone knows a hitman, call us 13 12 16.
Hit breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
Ellie, human nature. Bing, bing, bing. My email went off. Can you do an interview with them after the show on Friday? You were obviously away on Friday's show, so I thought, bang, I'm on here. I know nothing about human nature, and I'm about to interview them on my own. That's where Benny the Boss pipes up because he was with me going, I'm a massive human nature fan.
Of course you are.
And I was like, what? And that's when he decided to help me out with the interview. Welcome, Benny.
Welcome, guys. No, it was good. Well, you were away, so you missed out on the big names. Liz Cheney.
Yeah, no. I know. I'm sad about it. I'm not going to lie. But you win some, you lose
Toby's
some in
a
life.
Champ, was he?
He was an absolute superstar. So, yeah, we got time with Toby from Human Nature. We had a bit of a chat with him off air as well, which we're not actually allowed to reveal that story, but that was a bit of fun as well.
You know
well,
the fun
it?
Part is when they do the, is this still recording?
Mm-hmm.
And then the good stuff comes.
Yeah,
he
asked us to stop recording and then told us a story. But we'll tell you about that off air.
Huh.
But for on air, Benny, you revealed a little story, right? And I thought this is the moment that the Goulburn Valley needs to hear because we learn a lot about Boss Benny in this moment.
All right, press play. Toby, if I can make this a bit more personal just for 1 second, I have a confession that I wanted to. I've been looking for. This
go.
Is true. This is a confession to you, Toby.
Yeah.
I've never said this on radio to anybody. Now, what? Year 2000, you guys released a song called He Don't Love You.
Yeah, I remember that one. We still actually do it in our Vegas show.
I had that single. I went to Sanity. I would have been year 11 at the time, so it was 16. I went to Sanity and I bought this CD. I had it on repeat and I had the old hairbrush and I was coming up with a dance routine in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you.
Doing a karaoke.
I loved that song. I tried to copy your film clip, the dance moves. I was addicted to it.
I'll tell you what, 19 years later, after that song, which is ridiculous. We're still doing that in our show here, and the dance moves, we still like trying to get
yes,
everything
they're bringing it back.
And
this is amazing. I've got to be there then. I've got to see
we
it.
Have a bit of fun. We have a bit of fun with that whole boy band era in our show over here. But I'll tell you what, at the time when we were doing that song, we performed that a lot. And I used to go to my osteopath, and he'd say, you've dislodged your skull. Like my actual
no way.
Skull
That's
was
hectic.
Sitting off where it should normally be sitting on my spine.
So
because the head movement was so full on.
Yeah. I didn't injure myself. I went hard. I didn't have, yeah. That's amazing. How'd you
well,
injure yourself?
Well, maybe not hard
dancing?
Enough. Come on.
That's right.
Get
I didn't hard enough 16-year-old Benny should have put his back into it.
Tobes, Christmas at the Palms. It's at the Crown in December. If we forced Benny to go along, it'd be rude not to invite him on stage to perform it.
Would
you imagine
it'd be polite
it
not
be,
to get me on stage, I think.
I mean,
no one wants to see
we're
it.
We're going to notice him in his Santa suit. He's going to be pretty easy to spot in the crowd. So that's a no-brainer.
After the interview finished, right, listen to this. I speak to their publicist, Maddie. Hey, Mads, can we make this happen?
Did she you really speak to the publicist?
I did. When you left the room, I gave her a call. Maddie, Benny, I'm not joking. She said she's going to do her best. Toby was excited. He said yes. As long as the band's manager approves, their publicity have also said, yes, Ben, you can go on stage with Human Nature in Melbourne and perform that song.
I'll say right now, 100%. No, like the 16-year-old, you know, kid in me that used to dance in front of my mirror with a hairspray can and my dad giving me weird looks, I mean.
It is. If this happens, if we pull this off, it'll be in December. It'll be one of the funniest and best moments in my life watching you perform with Human Nature live.
Will Ellie be there or she'll miss this one too?
Hey!
Oh!
Hey, breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
Three riddles I throw out. Third one right wins, I should say. The first one I threw out before the song, why did the boy bury his flashlight?
I got nothing for this one.
Chris from Shep, got an answer for us?
I'm going to take a wild, wild guess. Because his batteries were dead.
It's a wild guess and it's 100% correct, Chris. Well done,
Are
mate.
Are you serious?
Bang.
Oh, yeah.
You switched on this morning, aren't you, bro?
What a dude.
Did you actually guess that?
Honestly, I was like, why do you bury his flashlight? And obviously, you know, why else do you bury something? And I was like, whoa.
So. I still don't get it. Oh, because it was dead, so you bury it.
You bury it, yeah, batteries died. Kind of a joke,
honestly,
kind of a, yeah, a bit of a joke there for a Monday morning.
Why doesn't he just bury the batteries then?
Well, he could have done
that
as well.
You're getting technical.
All right, Chris, you're into round two. Here we go. It's a, I'll say this is a simple one as well. What has a neck but no head? Think carefully. No neck. Oh, it has a neck, sorry, but no head. Bum bum.
Can I have a guess?
Go on.
Is it a bottle?
Oh, way to spoil the game, but that's right.
Oh, I think that'd be right.
Chris.
Sorry, Chris, I got that on your behalf, though.
Ellie was playing on behalf of you, so you're into the final round. How good's that, Chris, for a Monday?
But hold on. You're like bottle head, bottle top. Okay, yeah, no, you're
There's
right.
no head.
Okay. There's a head of the beer, though, in the bottle.
Stop getting technical. It could be a water bottle, though, and they don't have heads. There you go.
Oh, okay.
All righty, third and final riddle this morning. Chris, I'm going to invite a celebrity guest judge to do this one, okay?
Oh, yeah. This is my one.
Oh, yeah, it's Ellie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Did I ruin that for you too? Really not doing well this morning. So I heard this riddle on the weekend, and I want to bring it to the show because I think it's great.
It's my segment.
What is this item? An item looks square from the outside, circle when opened, and triangle when taken out.
That's a no from Chris. 13, 12, 16. If you guys know the answer to that one at all, any ideas, Chris, before someone else calls through? I've got nothing.
Square from the outside, circle when opened, and triangle when taken out.
Rubik's
it's a very
cube?
Clever one.
A pizza.
Oh, wow. That has to be right, surely.
That is right. Oh. That is a really tough one, and you got it right.
How did you pick it, Chris?
To be honest, I love pizza.
Wait, give it so to what?
Honestly, the only thing I could think of, to be honest, too.
Give it to us one more time, Ellie.
What's square? Oh, hold on. What's square from the outside, circle when opened, and triangle when taken out?
Wow. Good riddle and good answer, Chris. Congratulations, mate. You've won Meet Me in the Riddle for this Monday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Speechless. So am
I. Speechless indeed. My goodness. Meet Me in the Riddle will be back next Monday. If you know of any good riddles, feel free to send them through to us at HitGV.
This is The Catch Up with Desire and Ellie.
I will perform a feat of lunatic daring.
Desire and Ellie give you Monday's Muppet.
What a Muppet.
Every Monday I award the Muppet of the Week or Weekend that is wrapped up. And this week it goes to the very own Extinction Rebellion.
How dare you?
I wonder if there's anyone listening that's part of it, that lives in the Goulburn Valley and travels to the capital cities to cause chaos.
Oh, look, it was a huge thing. I had the country talking on Friday. I was over in Perth and driving through the city while it was happening, and the cars were just banked up all down the main streets of the city. My mum was caught in it for 2 hours. She was supposed to go to a Red Cross volunteer meeting. Couldn't go because she was stuck in traffic.
So for those that don't know, they're these climate change activists that are taking things a bit too far. And I'm going to make it very clear. Mm. I fully acknowledge the human impact that we have here on Earth and what it does to the climate. But what I don't like is a bunch of dull bludgers that think it's okay to protest and cause violence in the streets.
Well, you can't assume that all of them are dull budgers, for starters.
I'm surprised you didn't join in with Extinction Rebellion. Aren't you one of them?
I wasn't here on Friday. You don't know where I was.
Every capital city in Australia was affected by it. There was violence. There was arrests. They've chained themselves to buildings. They're changing themselves to roads. This is what makes me angry, and this is why I'm giving them the Muppet of the Week besides all that.
Mm-hmm.
Police have said that the protests are going to cost us, the taxpayers, yes, you and I are listening right now, hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the police overtime and the traffic and all that was caused from this. That is why I'm giving them Muppets of the Week.
Yes, I see what you're saying 100%. But, I mean, they kind of achieved what they wanted to. They got people talking. They created enough of an issue to make people listen to what they're talking about. But I agree, they're alienating people. It's like when you force your cause on anyone, that just pushes them further away.
111 people arrested, 56 charged with obstructing a road. There's a funny one. Protesters vow to return to all the CBDs in April next year for what they're going to be calling an autumn rebellion, going to cost us more money. These guys are my absolute Muppets of the Week. And my goodness, if they don't go away anytime soon, I'm not going to keep calling them Muppets time and time again. These guys need to go get a jobs. Seriously.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
There's a reason that I don't know why Vincent competed on the weekend, and that's because I couldn't quite make it to the Shepparton show. Life got in the way. I had to go to Perth where my boyfriend lives, and I had to go over because it was his 30th birthday. Big event. He's not one to usually celebrate his birthday. He's not very big on it. But I thought 30, like that's a big reason to go back, you know? So I did, and all up until last week, he just said, I don't want to do anything. We'll go out for a nice dinner or something. And he was frustrating me so much that it got to the point that I was like, okay, you don't get a say in what we're doing this weekend. I'm just going to plan it all.
Why don't you just do what he said? If he didn't want to do anything, just have a low one. Why don't you just go out for a nice dinner?
Because, Josiah, it's typical boy. They say that and then it gets to the day and they want to do something. I know you all too well.
Nah, I'd be happy with just a dinner as well. No, I hate parties.
No. Well, luckily, I know my boyfriend better than you think because sure enough, it got to Friday, which was when his birthday was, and you could tell he wanted to see his friends and do drinks.
Wait, didn't you arrive then? Was he not satisfied with having you there?
Certainly not.
Well, he wanted to see the boys. Can't he see his boys every other day of the week? He sees you once a month. You get there and he's like, can I see the boys now?
Trust me, there's more to it. So I arrive Thursday night. Friday's his actual birthday. We have a lovely lunch with his parents. And then I tell him, I've got a surprise for us tonight. So don't make any plans. You know, I'll just take care of it. And so he thought that I was just going to do that, take him out for a nice dinner. But secretly, I'd planned for all of his friends to come and go to this bar. And then I'd take him there. And so I was throwing all these like hints out there like, oh, you know, this is just the first stop for the night and, you know, oh, you should message your friends, see if they want to do something tomorrow night. So he'd actually sent out a message to all his friends being like, hi, guys, you want to do drinks on Saturday night?
Awesome.
I know, because he wanted it so bad, whatever. Anyway, so everything was going great. He didn't suspect a thing until we get to this place. Now, my rookie mistake in planning the surprise party was the fact that I planned it at a place that I'd never been to before. And the place was this massive, massive warehouse bar thing. And so everyone was there and I was messaging the group saying, hey guys, I'm on my way. I'm 2 minutes away. And then we get there and I realize I don't know where to go to find everyone.
Well, were they hiding or were they all just sitting at a table waiting?
They're all at a table waiting, but like waiting in a group to yell out surprise when he walked in. But I couldn't find them. So we're walking in and not only is the bar itself massive, but it's in this like stretch of other bars. So I didn't even know which one, the one that I was looking for was. So we're walking in and I'm like looking all the way around. He's like, what are you doing? He's trying to lead me to this bar. And I'm like, I don't know. I started stressing. I started shaking. My mouth went dry.
Did you cry?
No, but I was so stressed. Then we get in and he goes straight to the bar. He's like, okay, what do you want? Do you want a beer? And I'm like, no, we can't get a beer because we've got all your friends waiting.
Poor Gav just wanted to have a beer with the boys.
We nearly had a full on domestic because he's like, what are you doing? Like, what do you want? Just tell me what you want. And I'm like, I can't. And then I had to make up an excuse. I was like, I've never been here before. Show me around. He's like, we're at the bar. The lady's waiting for us to order a drink. He's like, why don't we just get a drink? Them girl. I'm like, no, Gavin.
Well, did you think he was going to drop his beer if he was surprised or something? Why don't you just let the poor guy get a beer before going on with the surprise?
Because I thought, I don't know. I didn't want everyone to just be waiting there watching us while we went and got a beer.
Yeah, but it's his 30th. All Gav wants is just to have a beer with the boys.
Oh, well, trust me. By that point, that was all I wanted as well. Jeez. So finally, he's like, fine, we'll go for a walk around. And we go around and we see everyone. And he nearly burst into tears because he was so happy about it.
So he did like the surprise.
He did like the surprise in the end. But the stress that it took me to get him there, like honestly, someone brought me a beer as soon as we walked in and I necked it because I was like, oh God, thank God.
I mean, in your defense, you do that even when you're not stressed.
All right. No, I don't. But I want to hear similar tales of surprise parties. Did the surprise go wrong or was it as stressful as that? Because like all in all, I suppose mine was a success, but I don't think I'll do it again because it's just, I can't lie for starters. So having to lie the whole week was too much. And then plus the stress of the night, no, not for me.
Speak to my parents. I make it very clear never to throw me a surprise. Couldn't think of anything worse. I'll go out of my way to make it stressful for you if you organise a surprise party because I hate surprises. Hate that anticipation. That's probably what Gav was feeling as well.
Is that because you never know what to, like you don't want to be caught in something that you don't want to wear? You know, like you need to have your outfit planned and your hair done and stuff?
Exactly. It takes a long time to get this face looking as perfect as it is.
Oh, of course. Okay, fair enough. Hey, 13, 12, 16, give us a story, a surprise party nightmares. What went wrong? What didn't go to plan? What stresses did you have? Let's go to Fee from Katandra. Fee, what happened to you?
Well, everything went well, but the only issue is some people didn't show up.
What do you mean? Who didn't show up?
So I done for my dad my 21st and dad's 60th, and I was pregnant at the time. So I had everything planned, everything done, and obviously dad on mum and dad's invitation, I only said that it was for my 21st.
Yeah.
But everyone else's, it was for mine and dad's. So we rocked up and there was only like a family mainly that was there, and some friends were like, yeah, 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 we're coming. No, didn't end up showing up.
Oh, that's always the way.
You need to set time, or you need to tell them half an hour early, because the young people of, you know what it's like now, feed, no one turns up on time anymore.
No, they didn't even show up.
Oh,
even worse.
Do you reckon it's because they like didn't want to party with the old people, or do you reckon they just couldn't be bothered?
I don't know.
Not that 60-year-olds are old.
No.
Of course.
Do you take it personally, Fee, or do you just think, eh, new friends?
New friends kind of thing, but like, you know, they went, especially when some of them said that they were coming.
Yeah.
And we've had to obviously go fork out the money to, you know, for the venue and for the food and, you know, and all that.
Poor
fool. And then next minute, they didn't end up turning up. So, like, it kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, what dogs?
Well, if you have another one, we'll come, Fee. We'll be the first one there. Don't you worry.
Hey. I'm in the middle of trying to plan my partner's 30th.
Great. Oh, all right. Yes. We'll be there. Oh, thanks for your call, Fee.
No worries. Thanks.
Are we ready?
The catch up with Josiah and Ellie.
Over the weekend, one of the greatest achievements of the year happened. I don't know how to say his name, even though it's been everywhere. The runner that ran the first time the marathon in under 2 hours.
This is huge. Under 2 hours.
Eliud Kipchoge. That's how it's pronounced phonetically. I don't know how to say it. If he is listening, I apologise.
Yeah, he's a big fan of the show.
In Vienna, Austria, it happened over the weekend. It's the world's first subpar marathon. Unbelievable in under 2 hours. He did it in 1 hour, 59 minutes and 40 seconds.
42 kilometres.
So basically, yeah. So he's from Kenya. 26.2 miles, which is, yeah, you're right, 42.2 kilometres. He ran an average of something like 4 minutes 30 seconds per mile.
I couldn't walk from here to the bathroom in that time.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's so unbelievable. My car probably doesn't even go that fast.
This is one of those moments in history where they said human will never be able to do it. And over the weekend, it got achieved.
Mm.
And a brilliant article's come out by MASH, who have given us some examples of what he's done and how much quicker it is than doing. And it actually puts it into context on how much of an achievement this is.
Okay.
1 hour, 59, 40 seconds. Faster than cooking a Christmas turkey. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Faster than watching the new Joker movie.
Yeah.
That's 2 hours on the dot. Great movie, by the way. Make sure you go and watch it.
Way less violent, too.
It's faster than your average trip to the emergency room at the hospital.
Oh, God. Okay.
Faster than fully charging a Tesla, if you're lucky enough to have one of those.
Oh, God. Cheaper, too. All you need is a pair of shoes. Tesla, you need like 100 grand.
Faster than the first episode of The Bachelorette the other night.
Yeah, but what's a more productive use of your time? Running 42 Ks or watching The Batch?
I'd rather watch The Batch.
Yeah, same. I'd go the latter.
Oh, you're a big fan of Friends, the show? He's faster than watching 4 episodes of Friends.
Okay, I literally did that last night trying to fall asleep.
How good's that? That's what he did. Taylor Swift's latest album, Lover?
Yeah.
Faster than listening to that twice. Didn't know her album goes for that long.
Yeah, we could just chuck it in his ears and listen to it as he goes. Kill two birds with one stone.
Our show goes for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. It's an hour faster than that, over an hour faster than our radio show. Imagine. Ran a marathon in over an hour less than our whole radio show.
Imagine if instead of sitting here talking into this thing every morning, you and I were running 42 Ks.
I'd be fit at least.
Oh, we'd have the best abs ever.
And it's also quicker than how long it took you to squeeze out that fart during our farty party.
All right.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
I want to tell you a little story about our old friend Shannon Knoll. Shannon Knoll's been a pretty constant source of entertainment for the last 15 years or so, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Ever since he got robbed of Australian Idol. Since then, he's done some great stuff. He's released this banger.
Well, you say he's robbed, and a lot of people do. I've been Team Guy Sebastian the whole way. Guy deserved the win. Look what Guy's gone on to do, and look what Shannon's gone on to do. Guy is the true champion.
That's not a bad point, actually.
You see Guy getting locked up after going the crazy horse? No.
Maybe, though, that was the turning point for Shannon. If he'd won, maybe he'd be singing about a choir.
That's
at
good
the
point.
Moment.
Yeah.
You know?
And not getting locked up. Strippers.
Well, Shannon Knoll has had this week what I'm going to be calling a midlife crisis. Now, I'm not hopefully in the middle of my life yet. I hope that I've got, you know, a good 60-odd years left in me.
You look like a middle-aged
woman. Okay. All right. Just because I've got some wrinkles on my forehead and some grey hairs doesn't mean I'm middle-aged yet. But Shannon's just turned 44. I've just done a little bit of research. And at the ripe old age of 44, he's decided to take up esports.
So what's esports? Can you explain to me?
Like gaming.
Oh, this is where those kids are making all that money now. Like that kid that won the world championships from Australia and won $8 million or something.
Yeah. So when you put it like that, it's like, that's not a midlife crisis. That's a good business decision. You know, if you're going to make $8 million from it, why not? But I feel like Nolsey's probably not going to ever reach like the soaring heights of Gamerville.
No, and it's the sort of thing you do start when you're younger and continue through. It's not the sort of thing you pick up at that age, is it?
Yeah, I feel like there's not many 44-year-olds out there in general who are playing games.
Well, if they are, they've been doing it for years. Yeah. They haven't just started all of a sudden out of the blue.
Exactly. Well, he's going to be competing in a Legion of Champions tournament in November. And if he wins it, he gets to go to Thailand. And he wins $1,000. Thank you very much.
Hey, he must be practicing pretty hard.
I know.
Isn't he on tour or something like that, old Shannon?
I don't know. Yeah, I think he does some shows every now and again. But he's been trained up by Aussie esports gun FaZe Hayes.
FaZe Hayes. Is he the kid that won the $8 million?
Possibly. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But I want to talk about midlife crises this morning.
Oh, you're saying he's having a midlife crisis?
Yeah, I think that constitutes a midlife crisis. Like, what are you doing?
A lot of people are offended by what you're saying right now. First of all, you're saying that if you're a gamer, you're having a midlife crisis.
No, I'm not. I'm saying if you take up gaming at the age of 44, then yeah, maybe you're just looking for something new in your life.
Well, there's the other offensive comment you've made. You're saying that 44 is midlife.
Yeah, no, I would. If you look at the mortality rate of adult men in Australia, I would say about 80 something. So I'm giving him a couple extra years.
See, I reckon most midlife crises are happening in your 50s, early 50s, late 40s. I reckon that's when it kicks off. 44, I still think he has a few years left, but for the sake of the segment, let's say he's having a midlife crisis.
You are sounding very whiny this morning. You're sounding very Nolsey. Okay. 13, 12, 16 this morning. I want to hear about midlife crises. Have you had one, or has a parent maybe of yours, or a grandparent, or an auntie or uncle, have they had a midlife crisis? My dad has took up cycling, which isn't that weird.
It's still a midlife crisis, I'd say, if you've never done it before.
Yeah, and especially because all of his mates, cycling mates, don't want to wear Lycra. So they call themselves the No Lycra Cyclists.
Does your dad wear it?
Well, that was what they initially started with, like a year or two in. They started creeping in some Lycra, and now they're all wearing them.
Don't get me started on cyclists.
All right.
You know my thoughts on them.
Don't be rude.
Especially the ones in Lycra. They're all compensating for something.
Oh, God, here we go. I guarantee you're going to take up cycling.
Yeah, I am one of those.
In like 10 years, you'll be a cyclist. Mark my words. 13, 12, 16, if you or someone you know has had a midlife crisis, let's go to Katie from Shep. Katie, do you know someone who's had one?
Yeah, my mum. She's doing a bit of a crisis and does random things. Most recently, she joined a bikie crew.
What?
A bikie gang, yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I didn't live with her for a little while, and I came back home one day, and we were going down the street, so I just sat in her car with her. And in the back seat, I saw a helmet and a leather jacket that had patches all over it. I was like, Mum, what's that doing in the back there? She's like, oh, I joined a biking crew.
Can I ask two questions here? Is she in one of those bikie gangs where she goes around dealing drugs and causes crime, or is she just one of those ones that cruises around for leisure rides on the weekend?
Yeah, she's just a leisure rider. She gets on the back of other guys' bikes.
Yeah,
which
she does.
It's really funny because my dad's not a part of the crew, just Mum. And, she's just riding on all these other old blokes' bikes and stuff with him.
Was she ever into bikes before the joining of the bikie?
No.
Okay.
This is totally unexpected.
To be fair, your mum sounds way cooler than mine. Mine did a furniture restoration course at TAFE when she hit midlife, so I feel like yours is a bit more gangster than mine.
Yeah, she's pretty thug now, guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep her away from me, please. I'm scared. Thanks for your call this morning, Katie.
Thanks, guys.
I love that. I want my mum to join a bikie crew. I'm mad at her
I'd
now.
I'd love to see your mum in leather as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Enough hitting on my mum. Thank you very much.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
I'm concerned for you, Ellie. You went back to Perth over the weekend to throw a surprise party for your boyfriend Gav's 30th birthday. Very kind of you.
Thank you. I'm a good girlfriend.
All went well?
All went all right. A couple of mishaps. I'll talk about that a little bit later on.
I don't know if you're going to reveal this, and it's actually an honour to have you back because an article has come out about something that went over in Perth over the weekend More than 200 people were called to a party at an Airbnb, a surprise party. The riot police were called in to shut it down around 10 o'clock Saturday night. No arrests have been made at this stage, but the owner, the person, they haven't said who it is actually, girl or guy, is facing $12,000 in fines and possibly a year in jail.
Ooh.
Ellie, it was a surprise 30th. The person that threw it had come from Melbourne.
Stop it.
Is there anything you need to tell us right now at all? This, every single thing on this list points to you.
Well, look, Josiah, I did go to Perth over the weekend. I did throw my boyfriend a surprise.
You did fly from Melbourne?
I did fly from Melbourne. Except my party bro was on Friday night.
Oh.
Saturday night, I was tucked up in bed eating Thai food and watching Kath and Kim.
Actually?
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
No, it was good. Actually, maybe it was Big Bang Theory. Can't remember.
Actually, in this article I'm just reading down, it doesn't say what day it was over the weekend.
Oh, you said it was Saturday. You said it was Saturday.
How's this? The culprit rented the property under a fake name.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've found them, charged them, obviously, because through Airbnb you can obviously track that. He still left his number in there, even though it was a fake name. Like I said, this is actually under WA law. The fines, you get fined for throwing an out-of-control party. 12 grand, a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Like, imagine if your party didn't get out of control and what that 12 grand would have got you to throw the party in the first place. You know
so
what I mean?
Gav's, was there 200 people that rocked up at all?
As if Gav has 200 friends.
Oh, good boy.
I struggled to get together like 30 for his party.
What about, was there multiple fights at your party?
Oh, Gav and I did have a little tiff, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because he checked out another girl in front of me.
On his own birthday?
Yeah.
I mean.
It was like we were having a conversation, she walked past and he just like stopped listening to me and started looking at her. And I was like, excuse me.
And then what happened?
There was multiple fights.
What happened then?
And then I just got mad. Oh, and then another chick got removed by the bouncer, right, from the place. Not from my party, just for random. And the bouncer, like, was pushing her out and, like, grabbing her and then pushed me into the bar and bruised my hip. And then Gav got mad at him.
And then the riot police were called and it was your party.
Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie. This is sports. It's Josiah and Ellie's Sport Talk.
Plenty of stories in sport took place over the weekend. The A-League kicked off, whole bunch of teams played, whole bunch of teams won. Ash Barty.
Good rap.
Thank you. I need to get to the good stuff. I'm going to get through the shorter stories before we get to the really important stuff. Ash Barty, the tennis player, she won herself an Australian Hall of Fame The Don Award, which is an award presented to the most inspirational sports person in Australia each year. She's the first ever female tennis player to win it.
Good work, Ash Barty.
And finally, the Melbourne Storm have confirmed the NRL are investigating star prop Nelson Asofa-Solomonana.
Solomona.
No!
Oh, you're so close. Well done.
After he got in a brawl over in Bali.
Have you seen the footage?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's out of control.
He's a big boy as well. I think he's 6'7 or something.
Yeah.
You would not want to mess with him.
No, 100%. But now that we've gotten all those stories out of the way, let's talk about the biggest sports story over the weekend. And that is, of course, the Bathurst 1000.
Now, are you have always been a Team Holden or a Team Ford girl?
Oh, look, I drive a Holden track, so I'm going to say I'm a Holden girl through and through.
Well, I've owned both. I've had a Holden and a Ford. Mm-hmm. My Ford died after 3 months, mm-hmm. and my Holden served me some fun. Lots of burnouts back in the day and that thing, so I've been Team Holden all through and through.
Okay. Well, you and I are both rev heads. We know that the Goulburn Valley, on the whole, loves their cars. It's everyone around here loves them.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. I love my F1 racing, but I've never properly got into my Bathurst 1000. I like putting it on in the background, but mm-hmm. I don't study it detail by detail. But yesterday was quite controversial.
Yeah, it was. So I'm going to give my recount of what happened at the Bathurst 1000 and then you give yours and we'll see whose is more comprehensive.
I won't give my recap. I might just give the facts.
Okay. All right. Well, a whole bunch of dudes. Is it just guys who do Bathurst?
No, there's girls as well.
Okay. All right. A whole bunch of dudes and dudettes all rocked up and they got in their cars and then their car's like, oh, put your seatbelts on. And so they put their seatbelts on and then they started up the ignition. And so they were good to go. Then they closed their doors. And then they just put up the handbrake as well.
Why would they put the handbrake up? They're racing.
Oh, wait. No, sorry. They put it down.
That's better.
It was the same sound effect. So then they get in and they indicate, obviously, because you got to indicate. It's just to be safe.
Oh, you don't have to in Bathurst 1000. Okay, you just race.
I'm giving a comprehensive rundown, okay? I'm really setting the scene for the people. And then just like to say hi to the crowd. They might have like honked their horns.
They don't do that.
I think they do. I would if I was driving past a whole crowd of people.
I think the cars are made to race, not made to toot the horns and put blinkers on. There's more priorities they need to put into these cars than those things.
Every car's a horn.
Can I do my rap now?
No, let me finish. And they take off and they like go around corners and stuff.
Would they crash?
Yeah, no, that was just going around a corner, doing a burnout. And then some people won.
Congratulations to Scott McLaughlin for winning the Bathurst 1000. Yes, Team Ford won yesterday afternoon, or evening, I should say. It went right up until through the 6 o'clock news. So a big win for him and Team Ford as well. Wasn't without controversy, though. Now, I'm not going to try and claim that I know every detail of the race or the controversy, but it was very controversial. Something to do with an emergency lap and someone blocking somebody else off and a pit stop too early and a pit stop too late. That's my rap in a heartbeat. All I know is Scott McLaughlin won. There was controversy and that is it.
Our rap of the Bathurst 1000 just then was about as comprehensive as Shannon Knoll's song. I'm so sorry, Garvin Valley. You all know what happened. You all love your cars, okay? Just find out yourself. Google it, whatever.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.